Hello and welcome to NBA Unlocked. I am your host, Karam Scoff. Guys, NBA season is right around the corner. I can't believe it. October 16 is when the NBA season begins, and September 17 is when the preseason begins. It is coming, and it's coming by fast. I cannot wait. And not only that, there's so many different storylines to talk about, and these storylines are going to unravel as the season goes on. How is Carmelo Anthony going to fit with the Rockets? What's going to happen with OKC? Are they going to do better? Are they going to do worse? How's Andre Roberson going to play after his serious season-ending surgery? DeMarcus Cousins with the Warriors, so many different storylines. And I thought, what better way to start this progression leading to the preseason than by talking about the top 10 draft picks of this year's draft? I think talking about these players is important because, yeah, we've heard them talk about them during the draft and a little bit during the offseason, but we are going to be seeing them playing a lot of minutes very quickly. Preseason is coming out very, very fast, and I guarantee you those 10 players going from DeAndre, Aiden, all the way to Mikal Bridges, they're going to be playing a lot of minutes in the preseason. For the preseason, you get to see really how well these players will play. I know it's not like the regular season, but it still gives you a good indication of how these players will produce than if you're seeing them play in the summer league. So the way I've structured this podcast today will be how I see each player fitting with their respective team. So since we're going from 1 to 10, we're going to start with DeAndre Ayton. Personally, I think the Suns did a great job drafting DeAndre Ayton. The Suns needed a center position. They can't have Tyson Chandler and Alex Len be your top two centers, especially if you're going against the premier centers in the NBA. It doesn't work. Tyson Chandler is old, he's injury prone, he's a former shell of himself, and Alex Len, after 4 years or so playing with the Suns, the best season he had was this year, averaging almost 7-7. That's not going to cut it, especially if you're trying to improve your team. If I'm the GM, my goal is to find positions that need to be filled. And when it came to the Suns, the gaping hole that needed to be filled was the center position. And that position is now filled with the acquisition of DeAndre Ayton. You have a young guy who's athletic, who can score off the dribble. He's a good shooter. He has good post-up moves. Excellent rebounder. Has the potential to be a stretch forward. He has all of those qualities. So the only thing that he lacks is his ability to defend, and from what I've heard, he has a reputation for not showing a great motor, and I think those two can be fixed. He's not an elite shot blocker, but that's something you can develop. He has that ability. It's not like he doesn't. And I mean, let's put it into this perspective. I see DeAndre Ayton as being somewhat a better Amari Stoudemire. I think he'll be a better rebounder. I think he has more moves in his arsenal to make him a better scorer. Because Amari Stoudemire was a decent jump shooter, but he mostly played for his career as a post player. He was a fantastic post player who had an okay jump shot. But you have DeAndre Ayton, who's not only a really good low post scorer, but he's also a good jump shooter. His qualities as a player is more advanced and more complete than Amari Stoudemire when he came to the Suns. And I think DeAndre Ayton being an Amari Stoudemire player for the Suns is a fantastic acquisition. I mean, I don't see the Suns getting a center during the free agency. There was no way for them to fill a hole that big in free agency. They needed to get someone to fill that hole, and they did it through the draft. And I think he fits a role that needed to be filled. And that's kind of the same thing with Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley fits a hole for the Kings that needed to be filled. You see, the Kings have Zach Randolph. Zach Randolph, he's getting up there in age, and he can't be your starting power forward. Kind of like the Suns, Tyson Chandler can't be your starting center, or Alex Len. Those two guys are great coming off the bench for DeAndre Ayton. And that's the same thing for Marvin Bagley. You can have Zach Randolph coming off the bench for Marvin Bagley. That improves the bench for the Kings. No questions asked. Last year, Zach Randolph averaged 14-7. I mean, if Marvin Bagley can average that or close to that in his first year as a rookie, then that's all that really matters. And that means he's producing at 19 years old the same numbers as a 35, 36-year-old Zach Randolph as a starter for almost the same amount of time played per game. And I think that's great because that only means that Marvin Bagley will get better and better. But that doesn't mean Zach Randolph is going to get better. It means Zach Randolph is going to decline as the years go by. And having him come off the bench for Marvin Bagley would be great. Because, like I said, it bolsters your bench. And the Kings did a good job, I think, getting Yogi Ferrell. Because I think that also helps having a player back up De'Aaron Fox. And that allows Buddy Hield to replace or come off the bench for Bogdanovich. So you have a good backup player to help your starters. And I think that was just a good pickup for the Kings. Because what power forward were the Kings going to get in free agency or any time in the future? The Kings, they're shit. And they've been shit for a long time. Even when they had DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay, they have not been able to go to the playoffs in years. And they're not going to get any big name free agents. So getting a player like Marvin Bagley was their only option. And I think that was the best option for them at the time. And you never know, he may actually be a very, very good player. I mean, it's not like he's a bad defender. He's actually a decent defender. It's not like he can't hold his own on the defense. So I think it is a tremendous pickup for them in the draft because Zach Randolph is not going to be guarding anybody. He's going to get beat by all the premier power forwards. At least when you have someone like Marvin Bagley, who's a young athletic guy, it helps your chances. And I think, like I said, that's a great pickup for the Kings. That was a good draft pickup. Now comes to Luka Doncic. I think this is also a really good draft pick for the Mavericks. I think they got potentially the best draft pick, the most accomplished player. He's like the LeBron James of Europe. And that's a fantastic title to give somebody. And the thing about Luka that really is important for the Mavericks is it helped the Mavericks starting five drastically. Because the way it's been working for the last 2 years, you have Harrison Barnes playing outside his position, a position where he does not feel comfortable playing at. Having him allows Harrison Barnes to go back to his preferred position, which is really the three. That's good in a sense because it changes the lineup in many different ways. You can now have Dennis Smith be your one, you can have Luka be your two, you can have Harrison Barnes as your three, Dirk as your four, and because of getting Luka Doncic, they were able to get DeAndre Jordan, who also fits a position that needed to be filled for the Mavericks. You can't have Dirk being your center anymore. So that caused a whole shift to occur. That caused Dirk to go back to playing the power forward. That caused Harrison Barnes to go back to playing his preferred position. And that allows Doncic to play the second and allow Dennis Smith Jr. to play the first. And this also helped the team in another way. This helps the Mavericks defensively off the bench. This allows Wesley Matthews to come off the bench. And Dirk doesn't even need to play that many minutes. He's not going to play that many minutes this year. He's 41. He's old as shit. He's not going to play that much. So Wesley Matthews is not going to lose any minutes. But it just causes that shift of positions to align. Because having, like I said, Harrison Barnes play the three is his preferred position. And I think he excels more playing the three than he did when he was playing the four. And again, I think the Mavericks did a great job with picking Luka because now they have someone that can really be their Dirk when Dirk retires. Because someone needs to take over that role. And right now they have that with Dennis Smith Jr., potentially, and maybe more so now with Luka Doncic, especially what everyone thinks his ceiling can be. And if everyone is right, his ceiling is tremendous. So I think if you look at it right now from number one, number two, number three, they did a great job with their draft picks. All three are going to help drastically because each one of these players so far are fitting a hole that needed to be filled for their respective teams. Now we're going to talk about Jaren Jackson. Jaren Jackson is the youngest in the draft. I think he's 18 years old. He's very raw, but he's an excellent three-point shooter. And I think that is something that the Grizzlies needed. I mean, Marc Gasol is up there in age. Mike Conley is not getting younger. I think Mike Conley is like 30, 29, 30, 31 years old. They needed someone young to kind of make the team seem exciting. Because the last few years, the Grizzlies have had the same team. And they haven't really been able to go anywhere. That team hasn't been exciting for a long time. And Jaren Jackson is a very young, exciting player. And has potential really to be a top 5, maybe top 6 in his draft class. Even though he didn't play that much in college, he did average like 11 and 8. And that's impressive. And like I said, his 3-point shooting is extraordinary. And I have no doubt in my mind that playing with guys like Mike Conley and Marc Gasol will help him not only be a better defender, but also improve his offensive game. So, for the Grizzlies, I think they did a great job with picking up Jaren Jackson. And again, I think they needed a power forward. J. Michael Green is not a bad player. I don't know if Jaren Jackson is going to start, but it gives the Memphis Grizzlies options now to either use J. Michael Green or Jaren Jackson. Either way, even if Jaren Jackson comes off the bench, he is still going to be an upgrade for their bench. So no matter how you look at it, Jaren Jackson is really fitting a hole because I don't think they have any other power forwards or elite or good power forwards off the bench that can help them. So awesome, awesome pick by the Memphis Grizzlies. I am going to take a short break, and we will be right back after these brief messages.
Be sure to email your questions and comments to nbaunlocked24@gmail.com. And stay tuned for a monthly special episode of Reading Your Comment. And now, here's your host, Karam Skoff.
And we're back. Now that I've gone through the top four draft picks, I'm going to talk now about Trae Young and the Hawks. I can understand why a lot of Hawks fans are upset with this trade between Luka and Trae Young. I think a lot of Hawks fans wanted Luka, but I don't think Luka was a position that they needed to be filled. I think they needed specifically a point guard position to be filled. And to them, they think that Trae Young is the better player. I mean, he did average like 27 points and 9 assists in college. That is phenomenal. But again, Dennis Schroeder was not going to come back. Dennis wanted to be traded. So they really needed a point guard, like really a specific point guard type player. And to them, they thought that Trae Young could be the next Steph Curry or maybe Steve Nash. Regardless, they thought he could be that type of player. I don't think they thought that Luka could be the type of player that they want him to be or they think he will be. We can kind of say the same thing back when Dirk got drafted. Dirk was going to be drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks, but they ended up switching their draft picks, and that allowed the Mavericks to get Dirk and the Bucks to get Tractor Trailer, who they thought was going to be the better player. As we know, that didn't end up being the case. So maybe in the end, Atlanta ends up winning that trade that they had with the Mavericks. Maybe Luka becomes a bust. Maybe Trae Young becomes the next Steph Curry. We don't know, but regardless of Luka having or being the most accomplished out of all of these draft picks, we don't know how well these players will be unless you see them play for a few years. So, I mean, it's hard to tell. They did a good job. Atlanta did a great job in getting Trae Young because he's going to get you points and he's going to get you assists. And I think if you look at it realistically, in terms of college production, if that type of statistics can somewhat be carried over into his first year in the NBA, I think that'd be great. If he can average maybe 15-7 or 15-8, I think it is a win. I think he'll have an easier time playing in the East than he would be in the West. Because granted, we know the East Conference, the competition they're lacking is pretty shitty. It's a joke. You can have a 35-win season and make it to the playoffs. It's a fucking joke. And I think in terms of point guard competition, I think the only three players that he needs to worry about is Kyrie, Kyle Lowry, and John Wall. Maybe Kemba Walker, but again, there's not a lot of really good point guard in the East as there are in the West. And I think it'll be easier for him to not only produce, but to actually play well, considering that he is playing in the Eastern Conference. So you never know, he may actually end up being a really good player. And I think, like I said again, he fits a hole that needed to be filled for the Hawks. So far, the top five I mentioned, they've all fit a specific need for their prospective teams. However, the next player, Mohamed Bamba, who got drafted by the Magic, I don't think he fits what the Magic wants at all. They have Nikola Vucevic. I think it's a bad idea to draft a player like Mohamed Bamba and have him come off the bench. He's not going to play power forward. Absolutely not. But it just makes no sense for him to be coming off the bench. I think for a guy like Mohamed Bamba, he needs to be in a specific team. He needs to be on a specific type of system where you can get the best out of him. And I think being with the Magic is going to be hell for him. I don't think he's going to be the type of player that people think he can be because of him being with the Magic. I think he's going to be like a Dieng for the Timberwolves. He's young, he'll come off the bench, but he really won't be able to do much because of the system that he's in. So Gorgui Dieng gives you about like 6-5 or 8-5, kind of like Thon Maker too. They're just not going to be able to give you what you want because they're not in the right system. And I think that's what's going to happen to Mohamed Bamba. I don't think he's going to be as good as he can be because of the system that he's in and because of the situation he's in. Had he been on a team like Dallas Mavericks, I think he would have been able to be that type of guy that you can see his potential. But again, I don't think by being with the Magic, we're going to be able to see that with him. I think it's going to be a very frustrating year for him, and I think we're going to see a lot of frustration on his part. Who knows, maybe he'll get traded because of the situation, because they don't think he's a good fit. I don't know. I don't see what the Magic were trying to do in this. I don't see it. Maybe they wanted length. Maybe they thought he could play power forward, but I think it's going to be disaster. Or maybe they think that Nikola Vucevic can play the power forward and have Bamba play the center. Regardless, I think it's going to be a train wreck. And they don't even have any good point guards that will help that team. So I don't know. I think it was a very weird and bad draft for the Magic in that regards. But again, that's an interesting storyline to take a look at. Like, also the storyline between Luka and Trae Young for the years to come, who ended up getting the better draft trade? Was it the Mavericks or was it the Hawks? So it's going to be very interesting to see. Now you have Wendell Carter Jr. Wendell Carter Jr., who got drafted by the Bulls, I think he's a good pickup. You have Robin Lopez, who is older. He's slower, not as athletic, doesn't really score, but he does what needs to be done. And for Wendell Carter Jr., he kind of is a Robin Lopez, but he's a better Robin Lopez. He's a good defender. He's way more athletic. I think I said he's a better scorer. I think he's a better rebounder. I think the Bulls did a good job picking up a guy that can fill in the Robin Lopez role. Because I don't think Robin Lopez is going to come back next year. I think he has one more year on his contract. I think after that, he's gone. And if he does come back, he's probably going to come off the bench for that type of role. So the Bulls did a good job in getting Wendell Carter Jr. And I kind of want to see, and I'm really excited to see him play with Lauri Markkanen. I think that's going to be fun to watch. And also watching them play with Zach Randolph. So I think, again, that's a really good pickup for the Bulls. Colin Sexton is also another good player. I don't know how well he's going to play with Cleveland. He doesn't have a lot of pressure, considering that LeBron is no longer with the Cavs. And the East is a lot worse now since LeBron left. I think he'll do a decent job his first year, but I think when you're looking at the guards in this draft, I think Trae Young is the best guard in the draft. And I think having Colin Sexton for the Cavs is an okay pickup, but I think they could have done better. I think they could have done better in getting someone like Kevin Knox or Mikal Bridges, because I think those two guys are better than Colin Sexton. But again, I guess they needed a position to be filled, and I think what they needed was a guard, and I think that's what they wanted, and that's what they ultimately went for. But in my honest opinion, I think Colin Sexton shouldn't have been that high up on the draft. I mean, 19 points is not bad, but I think in terms of potential, I think there were other players on the board that had a higher potential, in my opinion. But again, they don't have a guard/point guard type player that can play with Kevin Love. And for that, and for that reason only, I think is why they ended up picking Colin Sexton. I think if they could have done it, they would have gotten Trae Young, but Trae Young fell to number 5. Again, I wouldn't say it's a great pickup for the Cavs in terms of drafting, but it's the best that they could get in terms of the position that they needed to be filled. And once again, we will be taking a brief break. Enjoy these messages.
If you like this podcast, you can show your support by subscribing or slam dunking on that donate button. And now, back to your host, Khurram Scoff.
And we're back. So we have two more players left to talk about. We have Kevin Knox and Mikal Bridges. I think the Knicks did a good job in getting Kevin Knox. In college, he averaged 15 points and like 5 rebounds. Good player. Didn't play many minutes. He played He did play quite a few minutes. He played 32 minutes per game. But I think having that player be drafted by the Knicks was a good pickup, because he's a good defender. And if you saw him play in the summer league, he was tearing that shit down. He's good. And I think having him and Frank Nicotina, who's still raw, and a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, I think that's a good three young dynamic players, who are actually really good defensive players. And I think in a way it kind of markets the Knicks even more so for free agents to come to. Because you have Kristaps Porzingis, who is already a superstar and an all-star. Kevin Knox is going to be very, very good. And I think Frank Nicotina is still raw, but I think he's going to be a very good player as well. And with the East being so bad, the sky's the limit for this team to have a better record than what they had last year. They may not make the playoffs this year, but granted, next year with a healthy Kristaps Porzingis and getting additional free agents, there's no doubt in my mind that they will be fighting for a playoff spot. They may even make the playoff spot maybe this year, because Charlotte didn't get better, really, to be honest, and Atlanta got worse. I can think about maybe Miami got worse too, because they really didn't do anything. The thing is, with LeBron not being in Cleveland anymore, there's a possibility that the Cavs may not even make the playoffs. So that opened doors for at least two new teams to try and sneak their way into the playoffs. And who knows, maybe the Knicks will make the playoffs in the East. In the East, anything is possible. So we can't say that's not a possibility. It may very well be a possibility for the Knicks to make the playoffs. Having Kevin Knox for the Knicks was a good draft pick, in my opinion. And last but not least, Mikal Bridges. I think, again, the Suns did a great job in picking Mikal Bridges. I think he's a really good young player, and he's going to be a good player coming off the bench. Because I don't see him fulfilling a position. I don't see him taking TJ Warren's position. I don't see him starting. I see a scenario in which he will come off the bench, which will make the Suns' bench even stronger and better. But I don't see him starting. Unless he has a fantastic year and he's outperforming TJ Warren, then and only then will he be coming off the bench and being a starter instead. But as of right now, as a rookie, that's not going to happen. Mikal Bridges will be coming off the bench. I think kind of what's a little bit shocking is, I think Mikal Bridges fits better with the 76ers, and it kind of sucks, and it's really sad how that whole trade between the 76ers and the Suns happened for him. But what can you do? It's going to be also an interesting storyline between the 76ers and Mikal Bridges. Because he was really happy and emotional when he got drafted by the 76ers. So to see him go to the Suns, pretty heartbreaking on his part. And I feel for him and his mom, who actually works, I think, for the 76ers, from my understanding. But in terms of what I can see of him, I think he's going to be a good bench player for the Suns. And I think within time, we can see if he's going to be more than just a bench player or a sixth man. He potentially can be their sixth man who produces big numbers. So those were the top 10 draft picks of this year's draft. Those were my perspectives and my opinions of how I see each one of these players fitting in with their respective team. The next episode, what I'm going to be doing is discussing the top 10 point guards and shooting guards currently in the NBA. So stay tuned for next week's episode of NBA Unlocked.
If you like the music for this podcast, go to www.soundcloud.com/msspears0688 and show your love for the creator.